The following was at Frying Pan Meeting, the second Sunday in February, 1969.
Screams of mercy. That's as high as I can get. I have had just a few thoughts this morning, but nothing in particular, but just a few thoughts pertaining to the difference between those who believe the truth as it is in Jesus and those who believe what we must characterize as not being the truth as it is in Jesus. Because there is a vast difference between the doctrine that Jesus taught, the apostles taught, and the doctrines that are still taught, believed by the followers of and the real church today, and those doctrines which are believed and followed and practiced by those who we must again say that from all evidence have not been taught of the Lord. It makes a great big difference. It makes all the difference in the world between those who have experienced the grace and the mercy of God and those who approach these things merely from a natural and from a carnal standpoint. We have many examples, not only in our own lives, of the gracious work of God in our hearts, but of our brethren of old, and especially those who wrote, and it is recorded for us, in telling the vast difference in their hope, in their daily living, in their, shall I say, the outlook of life before that the Lord was pleased to appear to him in the person of his Spirit, bring them to the knowledge of the truth, not only of the doctrine of God our Savior, but the knowledge of the truth of what they themselves really are and were before this wonderful work of the Spirit of our God took place in them. You don't know, I've often made reference to the fact that the apostle wrote, that being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And it is upon that basis that the foundation is laid, the beginning of the work, by someone, some power, something, which we know to be God, outside of ourselves, because he begins it, he performs it, until the day of Jesus Christ, or unto perfection. I want to read a portion of the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning at the first verse. And we will come into some things there that we've been thinking about, we've often mentioned, but which are just as true now as if we had never heard them discussed. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I read through the 7th verse, 4th chapter, 2 Corinthians. Now let me look to the Lord in the word of prayer. My gracious Father, we feel to be so little and so unworthy of thy notice. And yet, there is none other unto whom poor sinners can come. There is none other that is merciful. There is none other that is gracious and long-suffering, and who has manifested thyself as being merciful to us, to our unrighteousness, even having brought us out of darkness that we each one are in, so far as our flesh and carnality is concerned, brought us forth into thy marvelous light. We know not ourselves how to approach before thee, Father, because we know that thou art a spirit and we are only carnality in our flesh. But if thou art pleased to make thyself manifest in our hearts this morning, pour out thy spirit in our hearts, and bless and enable us to come before thy throne, not in any sense whatsoever in our own name or strength, but rather come before thy throne in the name of our blessed Redeemer, who is the only mediator between thee and us, and who alone can make intercession through the Spirit for us before thy throne with groanings which cannot be uttered. We realize therefore, O Lord, if we are enabled and blessed to come before thy throne, we come in the name of Jesus. And if we are thus blessed to come, we come praying not that our will be done, but that thy will be done. Because we do not know, we know nothing of ourselves. We do not know how to pray, nor what to pray for. But we have an infinite God who is all glorious in wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and who has been merciful to poor sinners that he has chosen in his Son before the world began. Therefore he knows our needs, and he grants such things as he knows that we stand in need of, all the while and every time. So we need not, O Lord, to try to acquaint thee with anything, because thou knowest all things. Thou who never slumbers nor sleeps, who art everywhere present and nowhere absent, knows the needs of each single one of thy little children. And thou hast often appeared, we feel to be assured that it is thee who has appeared to us when we were in great darkness, and caused the Sun of Righteousness, as it were, to arise and shine in our hearts. And we were made to rejoice in the very midst of our sadness, in the very midst of our despair, when we had felt maybe that the Lord was gone forever, when we had felt that maybe we had never known him, that he had never known us. And therefore we found no peace, and we tried to pray and couldn't pray, and it seemed surely we were mistaken in the whole matter. But thou, Lord, who begins the work, always performs it. And when we need in thy wisdom, in thy purpose, to be brought low time after time, and to feel again and again our weakness, and how much we need thee every day and every hour, thou knowest how to make us to feel that there's nowhere else to go, feel lost and undone. But when thou hast brought us thus low, and hast taught us by these experiences what we need to know and what thou wouldst have us to know, then thou dost spring forth, as it were, and causes thy light to shine in our hearts again. And we rejoice with joy unspeakable. Well, we know then that we say, can say that we know our Redeemer liveth, and that he shall appear in the last days. And though we realize how full of mortality we are, that we're creatures of today and tomorrow we die, and yet thou hast assured us in the manifestation of thy glory in the giving of thy Son unto us as our Redeemer. Thou hast assured us that though we live and die, we shall live again. Lord, these are the only things that sustain us while we live in this world. Surely we have sometimes felt, sometimes have wondered, and sometimes have been almost brought to the knowledge of what terrible thing it would be if we had to live our lives out in this world in fear and in trembling and having no hope, having no light, having no understanding of thy mercy and of thy grace. But, O Lord, thou hast appeared to us. Thou hast shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of thy glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Thou hast given these things to us, O Lord, in our earthly pilgrimage here, so that we have assurance that thy grace superabounds. Thy grace is sufficient for us. And it matters not how great sinners we are, or how far we feel to lie from thee or to be from thee, and yet thy grace is sufficient for us, because our soft times brought us out of horrible darkness. We give thee thanks, therefore, O Lord, that thou hast looked upon us with such pity and such compassion, and know that our feeble voices are not able, we're not capable of praising thy name, exalting thy name, and lifting thy name up, as thy name well deserves to be exalted and lifted up by each one of those unto whom thou hast revealed thy grace and thy mercy. So, Father, we pray thee to hear us in the name of our Savior, who is now at thy right hand interceding for us. Wilt thou look upon this little congregation this morning, Father? For thou knowest what each one of us stand in need of. Thou knowest that we each one have our particular and maybe peculiar needs. We each one feel so often to stand afar off. But, O Heavenly Father, thou who art the giver of every good and perfect gift, wilt thou yet look upon us with pity and compassion as we journey from day to day? We give thee thanks, Lord, as best we know how, that thou hast put it into our hearts to desire to meet together with thy people when they meet together, where prayers often want to be made. We give thee thanks, O Lord, that thou hast provided a way, because thou must provide, or we cannot get anywhere. Thou must give us the desire in our hearts, or we shall not be interested in going. So we are in thy hands, O Lord, in thy gracious hands. May we feel to realize more and more thy sovereignty and thy glory, as well as thy mercy unto the least of all of thy creation. For we feel to realize with one of all, it is by thy grace that we are what we are. But we've also, if we're not deceived, been made to feel to realize as he was made to feel to realize, as thou didst say to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. So, Lord, seeing that we are helpless creatures, needy creatures, wilt thou take us, as it were, by the hand and lead us, lest we stumble and lest we fall. Lead us, Heavenly Father, in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. And give us grace, O Lord, that we shall not be ashamed of the gospel of the Son of God, that we shall not be ashamed of the wonderful works that thou hast wrought in our poor hearts, so that is upon suitable occasion, that we shall not hesitate to testify of thy goodness and thy mercy, though many do not know anything about. When we began to tell how good thou hast been to us, many do not know about it. But nevertheless, O Lord, wilt thou enable us to walk, not only before our brethren, but before the world, that they in some way may see our good works and glorify the God of heaven, that in some way that they may see, may take note, they may be aware in some way that they have been with Jesus. Yes, and more than that, that Jesus has been with them. So, Lord, as we come this morning, we're in thy hands. We're in thy hands all the time. Do with us, Lord, as it seems good to thee. If it seems good to thee this morning that we might have a door of utterance, that we might hear, be made exceedingly glad, that we might be lifted up in spirit, and that our dark and gloomy time for a little while might be cast away, and that we might behold thee in thy power, in thy glory, as thou dost rule in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, as thou art controlling all things, both of men and devils, so that they cannot go beyond what it is thy will, and according to thine own eternal purpose, to accomplish such as thou wouldst have these things to accomplish. Give us grace, O Lord, as we go from hence, that as we are saddened and have been made sad by the departure of some of our dear ones, with whom we took counsel in days past, and whom we enjoyed and loved for thy name's sake. But wilt thou, Lord, make us to be desirous that everything we say and everything that we do might redound to thy name's praise and honor and glory. So keep us, O Lord, as we approach thee out of our own departure, that we shall not go in deadly fear, but rather sustained by thy grace, that we shall approach our departure with the calmness which only thy spirit and thy grace and thy mercy can impart into the hearts of such poor and worthy sinners as we are. Lord, may thy name have all the praise, now and evermore. Amen.
Reverse the tape at this point.